It's overreaction week in fantasy football, and we're here for it all. As you are absolutely immersed into the Chaos Cast, hosted by two jerks and a dork, where we blitz on every down, seeking to get ejected for targeting, as we stiff-arm your trash fantasy football team, your only place for chaos fantasy shenanigans. I'm your host, Brad Kreger, alongside Levi Basham, John Spears, and special guest host, Luke Kreger. In this episode, we return to our traditional podcast format, reviewing previous week and upcoming matchups. We make our picks, review the waiver wire, trades, and we get into the mailbag. Let's get into it. All right, everybody, we are back, and we're going to jump into our traditional format. Where we're going to start the show breaking down the previous week. And so we're just going to jump right into this. The first matchup, Farewell to Hope, took on yours truly, Black Sunday. And Farewell to Hope walks away with a 267 to 239 victory, which is frustrating for me because I score the second most points in the league and, of course, played the team with the most points in the league. And so I would have beaten anybody else this past week, but that's fantasy football, right?
Dang it.
John's QBs combined for 140 yards rushing and three touchdowns. Tariq Hill gets 47, Achan 33, and then Aaron Jones pulls up with 30. For me, Mixon drops 46, but too many subpar games from other players leads to an L. I'm now 6-4 versus John all time. But we're now tied in all-time wins at 37. So John gets me on this one. What did you think, Levi?
Yeah, that's the game of the week. John promised a whooping, and his team delivered, but Brad prevented it. So
yeah, no whooping,
good on you. Not a lot of complaints here. I mean, there's nobody, no real standouts of just turds. But one insight is. Carolina is terrible, and I think whoever's defense is playing against them is going to be big pickup of the week, for the rest of the year. So, Saints defense gets 26.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Nothing to take away other than both teams seem pretty good and they'll.
Pretty good.
Only 267, no 300 bomb.
No, I felt like it was, but there was potential for a 300 bomb. Ferguson got hurt, which I don't, and then Swift is. That he was the only player during the draft when I picked him up. I was like, why did I do that? And it's probably, the man crush or whatever. But, I'm happy with my team. It performed. I got some pieces on the bench that looked to be pretty promising. So I did say a whooping. Brad held up. His team scored points, but it could have been a whooping easily.
Yeah, your quarterbacks led the way. That was tough. My quarterbacks were fine, but just not enough. All right, moving on. We're going to look at It's What Plants Crave, who took on Slop Nasty. And, talk about Carolina. Jeff's team puts up a measly 102.84, which, guys, by the way, is the lowest score of all time in the Chaos League. 102.84. But and this one was nearly the whooping of the week. I think it was a 92-point spread. But you got to be happy if you're Levi on a week when your defense leads you in points and you still get the win. There's really not much to talk about here other than Levi gets a good win. You take it. It's a win. Who cares? His team will be better moving forward. And so will Jeff's. Levi?
Yeah, it's a win. I'll take it. Yeah, this is more about Jeff's team just laying an egg than mine. I'm fine with a lot of my players. Feel pretty good about my team. And there's some improvement to go, but yeah, this is just no one would expect Marvin Harrison getting 1.8, Evan Ingram 2, and then the Jets couldn't stop anyone on Monday.
Mm.
So, only player that broke 20 is Bijan. So, and you kind of expect that. Sometimes you would think 27 may be a little low for him.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think it's just more about Jeff's team than my team.
100%. If there was a week to ever score 102, it'd be week one. I don't think I'd panic. There's definitely a a lot of work to do with his team. You hate seeing 1 point out of Marvin Harrison Jr. I was like, whoa. You know, that dude coming out of college was amazing.
And that game was not low scoring.
No, no. You know, 34-28. Like, make of that what you will. I guess the bright spot on his team was Baker Mayfield dropping 42. But, you know, they played Washington. So who knows what's going on there. Yeah, Jeff, dust yourself off. Week two. Move on.
Yeah, absolutely. There'll be better days ahead for Jeff and for Levi as well. All right, taking a look now at the next matchup. It is Victoria's Secret took on the Scoops Troop. And Amanda gets a nice win here, 237.5 to 201.7. And get this, guys. Jason now falls to 1-7 all time versus Amanda. After another disappointing loss to the league bully, and to boot, Puka Nacua goes down, which is not going to be good news for Jason. QB play is also a bit concerning as his quarterbacks combined for just 20 points. So that's another concerning situation there. On the other hand, Amanda gets 46 from Cup, 41 from A.J. Brown, or starting running backs combined for nearly 70. And Jason's going to get another chance versus Amanda later in the season, but for now, he's forced to sit in this crap. Levi, what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, like, unexpected, you know, like, from Puka Nacua getting hurt, just very unexpected. His Broncos didn't do well, although he only played one Bronco, looks like.
Javonte Williams, he wasn't good either.
Yeah, that's a little concerning.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Saquon, like, there weren't many players that scored more than him.
Saquon was great.
So that you got to look to that. Yeah. Amanda, like, last year she started off, what was it, 0-5? So she starts the year off with a win, and she made the playoffs last year. So
yeah,
she's going to be a force in the league.
Looks like it.
It's definitely a little alliance-on-alliance beat down there. You know, Victoria's Secret versus Denver. We'll see how that plays out with his team in the weeks to come. You know, Puka going down, and he kind of really only needed one other player to kind of have a big game. So it's not all is lost here with Jason's team. I guess the jury's still out whether Caleb Williams is going to be anything.
Yeah.
That's kind of disappointing. They won the game, and it wasn't because of him, because of the number one overall pick. That's usually never a good sign. But I think he has some pieces there he can work with. Tough loss, but keep your head up.
Yeah, I mean, and everybody keeps their head up. This is overreaction week, right? It's week one, okay? If your team stunk this week, just wait till week two. All right, we're going to move on. We've got the next matchup is the Purple Bleeders took on the Houdinis. And Lance pulls away here, 229 to 195. And interestingly enough, these two are now tied 5-5 all time, head-to-head. And they're also number one and number two in all-time wins. So these two guys have really been front runners in the CFL. But for this game, Jaden Reed, after I crapped on him in the draft show, nearly drops a 60 bomb with 57 points. But the rest of his team kind of performed average, I would say. But it was enough. It was enough to beat Derek, as Derek gets poor games out of Kincaid, Keenan Allen, and St. Brown, and Tank Dell. Derek will have better days as well ahead, because those guys are going to step up eventually, right? So, but Lance gets the win. Levi, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this is a little of a win by losing in a way with Lance. So he ended up winning, but like now Kenneth Walker might not play this week.
Yep.
Tua had he's going to be out for a couple weeks now after yesterday. Jaden Reed doesn't really have a quarterback throwing to him.
Yeah, that's
so. Yeah. Like, I think like Lance needed this win, but so a little win by losing. And you still take those. You basically need CeeDee Lamb to pick up all the pace for that. So, but with Derek, there's a lot to be happy about with Lamar going. I think you like Lamar against any like tough matchup because he's going to be like trying to win on his back.
Yep.
So, I think this is more about Lance kind of losing some of his players, and he may have to play some catch up. So, and this is going to help him a lot.
Yeah, this is about as a Union blue blood team as you can get. Union, did I say that? Union Brothers team as you can get. You know, this is a Lance score, 230. This is what Lance does. He scores 230 every week. You better show up. And Derek's team, I think, is very capable of doing the exact same thing with Lamar Jackson leading the way. I mean, St. Brown had five.
Yeah, that's not going to That may not happen again the rest of the season.
No. Chris Godwin, a little bright spot, too.
Yeah.
He might be good all year, and I don't think anybody was expecting that.
Yeah, Tank Dell getting 14. I mean, his team's fine. This was just take the loss. You're fine with it. Now, Lance, on the other hand, he did take some injuries. Now, we got news last night, two is out. Maybe the season. Who knows? But I think his team's going to be fine. But, yeah, good win for Lance.
All right, and that's going to wrap up the four matchups that we're going to look at, other than the whooping of the week, which is next.
Ladies and gents, the time you've all been waiting for with our final matchup between Big Brother Bert and Joey Loose Meat Hayes. Sorry, Joe, but you got whooped. Woo-hoo-hoo!
Rob, the Steamers put the whooping on the All-Stars, 226.5 to 128.2, nearly 100-point whooping. And Joey, man, he poops his pants in this one. I mean, not only does he get whooped, but he now drops to 0-6 in week one matchups. And he was only averaging like 160 points before this. So it's going to be under 160-point average on week one and 0-6. And he puts up the seventh lowest score of all time with a 128.2. So, Joe, man, you're sitting at the bottom and you're looking up and Rob's standing over you like Muhammad Ali right now. The All-Stars looking more like the Bad News Bears at this point. But there is plenty of season ahead of us. I mean, and plus, McCaffrey was a late scratch, and Joe didn't get to pull him. So he gets a goose, leaves him in the lineup, gets a goose from CMC. But really, many of his other players weren't much better. Mark Andrews, 4.8. McLaurin, 5. Zamir White, 9. DJ Moore, 15. Taylor, 15. Wilson, 18. Just a bad, bad performance from top to bottom. And Rob gets a big game from Josh Allen. And gets good games also from Diggs, Nico Collins, and Dallas' D to give Joey now his sixth whooping of all time, which is now tied for second most with Jeff and Amanda. Joey being whooped six times now. And then Rob picks up his seventh whooping of his career, and he now sits in fourth place behind Derek, myself, and Levi. Levi, what did you think about this horrific matchup?
I mean, this is the beat down. And you hate for Rob to do that to you.
Hacksaw style.
This is what I meant whenever it was Joey was like, "This is my Christmas, Sandra." I was like, "Why are you happy? why do you do this to yourself?" I think it's mostly bad luck here. To be honest, but like McCaffrey going down, like. It didn't really matter at that point, like, whether McCaffrey started or not. Like, the rest of his team had let him down. But it would have been nice for him to play. Like, look forward and play. Jordan Love going down. It's going to be hard. I'm going to be honest with you, Joe. It's going to be hard to pick you in the picks until you get healthy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love the new rivalry of Levi and Joe.
I'm just being honest here.
Well,
like, am I saying anything untruthful?
They say honesty without compassion is cruel.
Yeah, it's brutally honest, yeah.
We should leave a hotline for fantasy football, and you answer the phone every time. And if it's week one every week for Joe, and he calls you, I don't know if he'll make it the whole season. His team is... Does he get whooped every week one? I mean...
I think he gets whooped.
You got whooped week one last year by me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Joey was probably on the precipice of a whooping last year with only averaging, 160? Like, geez.
Yeah.
Joey, do better. And call Levi if you're feeling down.
Wow. Joe, we love you, buddy.
Except for Levi.
Sorry, but
I love you.
We got to call it like we see it, man.
I got to speak some truth here.
Yeah, we got to call it like we see it here.
I want Joey to get better. Like, he liked his team before the season started.
Oh, what do you want him to do about that? It's like 16 spots.
Okay.
But hey, guys, if anybody can piece together something out of nothing, it's Joe. He'll be on the waivers.
He already did. He made a trade. Help is on the way, Joe.
The team already got better.
He'll get better. He always does. But this one goes down in the books. This is an ugly one. And so that's going to wrap up this segment. We're going to check out the upcoming week next. All right, everybody, it's now time for us to look ahead to week two and break down the matchups and make our picks. And we're going to jump right into it. We're going to start with Black Sunday, who's now 0-1, taking on It's What Plants Crave, sitting at 1-0. I am just 5-4 all time versus Levi. And I get 40 on Thursday night from James Cook. And while Levi just gets 13 from Waddle, I do think Levi's team rebounds from Waddle's slow start, keeping it close. But I say I'll edge him out in the end. Give me Black Sunday here.
Yeah, I mean, like, of course I'm going to go with myself. I was happy with the 40 after how early he got that 40 points or 36 points. So,
yeah.
You know, it's still early. I think I have some good matchups. I think Jared Goff could have a big day.
Being that it's a 40-13 point lead, I think this will be a close game. I like Brad's team. I think it's going to score a lot of points this year. I'll take Black Sunday.
All right. So the picks are down for the first matchup, which brings us to the second matchup, which is the Intoxicated All-Stars. This is the dog matchup of the week, by the way. 0-1 taking on the Slop Nasties. Also at 0-1, both teams just dropped two of the lowest scores in week one of all time, and they'll be going head-to-head here. And they're both locked up at 4-4 head-to-head all time. But they're both reeling, and somebody's got to come out ahead here. Somebody's going to win. There's no ties. And both teams have some players with something to prove after week one. I think this is going to be a close one, but give me Jeff.
Yeah, this is tough. Like, is this a loser leaves town match? You know,
it could be.
Like, this it might be bad for the loser. It's tough. Yeah, it's gonna predict which teams are gonna bounce back. I think both teams are gonna improve. Like, both teams only can go up, honestly. So, but I'm gonna take Jeff. I think his matchup's a little better.
Yeah, I'm in agreement that I'm taking Jeff, too. I think Joey has more to gain here with the win. If he's going to drop the moniker Loose Meat, he has to win. And I think he's going to have to lay a whooping down or your Loose Meat the rest of the way.
With Loose Meat and winning.
But I'd say whoever loses this game, Loose Meat might be old maid. And
I like it.
And carry to whoever loses this game the rest of the season. Now, I agree with Levi. If they're both low-scoring affairs on both teams, there's trouble. And I think they both need to score a lot of points no matter who wins to prove that, you know, they can get through the end of the season. So Loose Meat title is on the line.
So you're taking
Jeff.
You're taking Jeff, which is a sweep. Boy, it's tough on Joe this episode. But, man, you got to come. You got to bring it, Joe. You got to make us believers.
Prove us wrong.
Yeah, we're not just going to pick you because we like you. So
Levi won't.
So there's that.
I picked him to make the playoffs. I feel bad about it.
You should feel terrible. Huh, what an awful pick. No. All right, so that's the second matchup. We're going to now take a look at the third matchup, which is going to involve the Cleveland Steamers, who just got done with the whooping of the week. They're 1-0, taking on Scoop's Troop, who's at 0-1 right now. Rob is 6-3 all time versus Jason, which shouldn't surprise anyone. And so I'm picking Rob to make that 7-3, even though Josh Allen did have a poor game, at least for his standards. But I really think Puka's injury is going to hurt Jason. I think he's going to be living on the waiver wire. I saw he picked up DeMarcus Robinson. We'll see what he does. I know he had a lot of targets week one, and with Puka out, that may not be a bad pickup. But I also see his quarterbacks being more average than good. I'm going to take Rob.
Yeah, I foresee this matchup maybe being a little low scoring. There's a lot of, like, what I like, it's still early in season, but I like bad matchups for a lot of the players. I think I'm gonna take Jason though, because I think Breece Hall and Barkley might be just matchup proof, and
yeah.
So I'm gonna think Jason's just gonna pull it out there, and of course Josh Allen didn't really do much Thursday. He didn't need to do much, so a little bit of an advantage there. I don't know if either team will break 200 points.
That's fair. Oh,
wow. Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Levi 100% all the way down the line. I think, you know, Breece Hall and Saquon, you know, his number one overall pick got 12. That usually spells disaster. You hope Derrick Henry and White and Adams can pull something together. We'll see how Houston does against Chicago. The defense is pretty good. I'll take Jason here, though.
All right. Picks are down for the Steamers and the Scoops troop. We're going to move on. We're going to take a look at the Purple Bleeders, who got a victory week one, as well as his opponent, Victoria's Secret, Battle of the Undefeateds here. Lance is 7-4 all time versus Amanda. Man, Tua gets knocked out again last night after only scoring 11 fantasy points. And on top of that, it doesn't look good for Kenneth Walker this week either. I'm going to say give me Amanda here. And this may be the whooping of the week. Actually, I'm calling it whooping of the week. Amanda's going to lay the wood. But Lance is the walking wounded right now. And Amanda's team, I think, looks really good at this point. I'll give me Amanda.
Yeah, I think Lance's team is a little too banged up. It's a shame so early in the season. So hopefully he can get more healthy. And then, Amanda's going to score a lot of points. I think that's going to be a fact. So, got to go with Amanda here.
Yeah, the same here. Sorry, Lance. You're banged up. This would be a great week if Jonathan Brooks was coming back to fill the void of Kenneth Walker, but he's going to be out a couple more weeks. I agree with Brad. This could be the whooping of the week here.
All right, so we got another sweep with Amanda taking down Purple Bleeders, at least according to the podcasters, which is probably a pretty good sign for Lance.
Yeah.
So don't fret too much there. All right, last matchup we're going to look at, and this could be the matchup of the week. We've got Farewell to Hope, who was the leading scorer week one and sits at 1-0, who's taking on the Houdinis, who lost last week but looks to bounce back after some poor performances for some elite players. John is 6-3 all-time versus Derek, and John gets 46 points from Achan last night, but kind of to wash it all out, Tariq Hill only gets 10. So, you know, you kind of figure that's probably a bit of a wash. Jake Ferguson is also out for John, so bring in Colby Parkinson. Don't know about that one. Derek's team rebounds from week one and takes down John, who will stay in the game thanks to elite rushing attack from his quarterback position. When it won't be enough, Derek gets the victory.
Finally, I got to disagree with you, Brad. So, I just think Anthony Richardson against Green Bay, who was not very good defensively last week, and then Jaden Daniels against the Giants, who Sam Darnold carved up.
How many passing yards did Jaden Daniels have last week?
He don't need them.
He had a ton of rushing yards.
No, I know. But you just said he carved them up in the secondary, but that ain't.
I said Sam Darnold did.
I know, in the secondary.
Yeah.
He didn't run over them.
No, true.
two different styles of quarterbacks.
Yeah, Aaron Jones had a good day.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. But
why'd you have to say that? Just let me win and move on.
No. I'll never do that. No, I'm kidding. I'm just saying those matchups are too good, and I think Anthony Richardson and Jaden Daniels are going to be explosive. While I have concerns health-wise, you know, like, I don't – like Anthony, way both were playing. Like I feel like John's gonna have injury concerns at some point with both of them. But while they're playing, they're fantastic and like
especially in our league.
Yeah. So I think this might actually be the whoop in the week on John's side.
Yeah.
This is what I drafted. This is the boom or bust. There's a lot of top end players that, you know, they may get nothing. I think mark it down. Parkinson gets 30. Puka Nacua is out. Parkinson steps in, fills the void. Not Robinson, but Parkinson. Mark it down. We'll revisit this next week. Promise you that. Yeah, this is what you all you alliances should do. Derek, I want to beat the living snot out of you. And I'm going to do that. And he knows I'm going to say that. And he doesn't care. He respects that. But you, on the other hand, oh, hey, Rob, hey, Rob. Rob.
That sounds like
it. It sounds like Rob was right here. But I'm going to beat Derek. I'm going to beat him down bad. We're going to shake hands afterwards, and we're going to move on to week three. That's how you do it. Me by a million.
I'm going to go ahead and let you have that. I got nothing for you on that one. You just believe what you want to believe.
Oh, Rob.
Such good radio.
It's like he's here.
Yeah.
It's like he's here. All right, guys. So that makes the matchups all wrapped up. So we've got them all picked. We've got them down. Week one is over. We're moving on to week two. Before we know it, we're going to be talking playoffs. Guys, enjoy playoffs. Yeah, we're going to enjoy it while we can. And we're going to move on to the next segment next.
All right, everybody. This is the segment where we normally do pickups and trades and stuff, but I feel like this would be better if we just talked about, like, I've done some computer rankings and such, and I've developed a power rankings for each team. It's not, I'm not, I promise this isn't any bias for any alliance. Every team's being put in the same processes. It's basically, it's made on like how impressive your win was, how many wins versus your losses, how good your opponents were, which is kind of like, that's how impressive your win is. So here's what we're going to do. We're just to do the top 10 or the entire 10. We'll go from 10 to 1 and just, you know, kind of a way of everyone gauging where they are and if maybe they may help people maybe make a move or need to make a serious pickup, maybe spend some of their fab.
Let me guess, Joey's 10th.
Actually, no. That's a that's the spicy one. Actually, number 10 is Slop Nasty.
Oh.
With coming to number 10, Slop Nasty got 5.35 points. Didn't foresee that one coming. I mean, although Joey's not that far away. So based on how many points Joe you know, this with Jeff scoring the least amount of points ever in Rob's league, I think that's more weighed heavily
than
the margin.
Yeah.
Jeff comes in 10th. You said there's a lot of bounce back here. I honestly think Slop Nasty's in a better spot than Joey is at the moment. But if Joey gets healthy, like that could definitely change my opinion. That leaves Joey at number 9. He has 7.15 points. We already kind of discussed this in the whooping, but yeah, like, not great here. These are quite low numbers. Still, you're not the bottom though, so that's pretty good, something. Right? Next, number 8, the Houdinis, coming in with 13.7 points. Now, the next, so it's 8 and 7 are only divided by, is that 0.45? Points. Mm-hmm. So not a ton of division, but Derek started off strong Thursday, but then didn't come through on Sunday. He's got a lot of room to grow. 7 is Scoops Troop of 14.15. Like, this seems like it's kind of, there's kind of a big jump. So, mm-hmm. Like, I think Scoops Troops and Houdinis, they may not be, this is, next week may show what they really are. Next, Black Sunday at 6. This is the highest loser. So the 17.2 points. They scored a ton of points, but the loss didn't come in as much. I feel like you would have been, maybe if you'd won, you probably would have been in the top 3.
Yeah.
I would assume.
I would think.
After that, it's Will Plants Grieve at number 5, 17.65. I'm bottom of the winners, which makes sense. I scored the least amount, I think.
So you're the worst winner, I'm the best loser, and we're playing each other this week.
Yeah.
There we go.
They could change some things there.
Could swap places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this will compound over the weeks. This is kind of an easy. This is just 1 week.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like as I think after the first month, this is going to show really who the best teams are. But we'll go and go, and I'll continue doing this. From week to week. So at number 4, that's Team Purple Leaders. Super impressive win. This power ranking doesn't factor in injury though, so like I would still feel pretty worried with Lance and
right.
I definitely needs to get healthier. I foresee the Bleeders falling a little bit as the weeks come. Then number 3 is Victoria's Secret. So I think that's a little surprising, although I guess the margin of victory from Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that the Steamers are 2, but 3 with Victoria's Secret 19.35. Cleveland Steamers are 20.20, so almost a full point for Rob. A little surprising with Amanda scoring more, but that margin of victory helped them get over that tiebreaker.
Makes sense.
And then in first place is the Farewell to Hope.
Might as well be a million
points. Not really much to say there. I think we can skip that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty sure. Boring. A million.
Very boring.
I'm not trying to put people to sleep here.
No.
I'll put you all to sleep week by week. That's what I'll do.
Take dirt naps. You give them dirt naps.
All to sleep week
by
week.
Got a confident John here.
Put you in order and just go down that and read bedtime stories.
Night, night.
Lullaby.
Save that for the mixtape. We're going to clip that. I'm going to replay it week 13, 14.
Clip what he just said. We'll loop that around.
This is all being recorded.
And I'll create a lullaby for each team that I put to sleep.
You know, there's a national audience for this, right?
Sure, yeah, it's okay. Global.
It is
worldwide.
That's very gutsy of you.
Guys, any thoughts? Anything?
I just gave you mine.
Yeah.
None
and nobody else.
I think the biggest thing right now, I love it. It's a little different take on. Because you know how it is, and we talk about it every year. Like, head-to-head isn't the best way to determine who the best team is, really. It's the most fun way to play fantasy football, I think. But and even total points may not be the best way to gauge. I just think this kind of gives you a little more nuance. And as you said, as the weeks progress, it'll get more and more accurate. You have 1 week of data, so that's not – not super impactful right now, but about week 5, 6, 7, we're going to start piling up enough data where it's going to be interesting to see where it shuffles out.
I think the divides will get greater. For some,
especially
groups.
From like 1
and then 2.
2 to 10.
No.
that gap is going to definitely grow.
Mm-hmm.
Without question.
And you will see the faults. We'll probably see the faults of the head-to-head system when you have a team ranked in the top power rankings who's got a bunch of losses. You're gonna see, well, they got a really good team, they just happen to play teams that were a little better that week, so some of the randomness of the head-to-head will probably be exposed with this system.
Maybe.
But that's fine. I mean,
depends on how
part,
it weighs
part of fantasy football.
It is
another thing to complain about if your team's really good, you're still losing.
Brad don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Guess what we're going to be
His power is like my power
ranking. Well, then don't rank them if it's not going to be something I can use as a metric.
There it is. Already.
I'll rank it if we can't use it.
That's going around the league. Another thing I want to discuss, we had 2 trades this week.
Break it down.
So
Over-under was 2.5.
Over-under's 2.5
for
the season. We got 2 in the first week.
Excellent.
First trade happened was between me and Rob. I traded Justin Herbert to him for Nick Chubb. I feel like both teams got better. I mean, we talked about it last week that Rob may need a quarterback in the future. And getting Justin Fields, I feel like I had, a couple extra quarterbacks I could get rid of. And I could make a bet on Nick Chubb. So mm-hmm. I think it's good for both teams, which like that's how trades happen. Like you don't just you're not looking to screw someone over.
Right.
And I think the other trade kind of is kind of the same way. Mm-hmm. We had between Brad and Joey. Joey, of course, we talked about earlier with Joey, you know, needing some help. He like needed to improve his team. Christian McCaffrey's hurt, so he went and traded for Jordan Mason.
Yep.
And he gave up Jameis Williams, which, like, you know, he's a very talented player, but, like, there's still some mystery about him. I think Joey gave up some upsides just to be able to have, you know, a handcuff running back for right now and when Christian McCaffrey comes back.
I think if we're going to be critical of the trade, Brad potentially may – I just saw a thing come across the phone – potentially the best running back in the league. Maybe potentially have the most points in the league.
Who? You know,
Jordan Mason.
Oh, this week?
Period.
You don't think Chris McCaffrey's coming back?
You think Jordan Mason's going to be the best running back in the league?
No, I just saw something. It was Fantasy Update saying that he's only rostered in like 31% of league, or 13% of leagues, and he could potentially lead all running backs. McCaffrey's not playing, and
that's a hot take.
Like, why is he hurt? Like, He didn't play in the offseason. He hasn't played in months, and he's missing time already, and no one knows really why.
He did this a couple years ago. He had a calf. He was questionable, and he never played.
Right.
Yeah. So, no, I get it.
I'm saying if we're, like, I feel like it was a great trade. It made both teams better. But if I had to say, Joey might have made out like a bandit. Joey calls him J-Mo, by the way. He calls Jameson Williams J-Mo.
J-Mo?
That's what they're called, J-Mo.
Okay.
Joey dropped it off.
I don't know what about that.
Joey's big on him going. He's big on him. But I think Joey potentially could have got a steal. And because McCaffrey's out and doesn't play the rest of the year, he just got maybe the Puka Nacua this year.
I think it's definitely at least a safety net. Like, he's like going from 0 points with Christian McCaffrey to, like, I would say Christian McCaffrey is probably a couple points a week better than
Jordan Mason. If he doesn't play.
But, like, he's going from, you know, 25, 30 points a week to 22 points a week, 20 points a week.
I mean, he might average 30.
So, that's,
like, so, he's out. Here's my analysis of the trade. In fact, I even told you guys I thought the Joey probably got the better deal. But it's all about need. I'm very deep at running back. Even though we're saying that it could happen that McCaffrey could be out for several weeks, I don't know how likely that is. My guess is he'll probably be back in a week or two. Could be wrong about that. And then if he is and he stays healthy, what value is Jordan Mason? So, I mean, we got to look at that other side of the coin, too. Like, there is that potential. That could happen. And if that happens, then I'd say I probably got the better deal. But it really depends on Jameson Williams, too, because, I mean, we already said Amon Ra St. Brown had a bad week one. You don't think that's going to continue. So, I mean, Jameson Williams is not going to continue to be a target monster, I don't think. He'll probably be up and down. He'll have some big weeks. He'll have some bad weeks. But I was looking for some punch from my receiver depth off the bench that I can plug in and maybe get, you know, a big game out of him. And I like the offense there. So, overall, I mean, there's still a lot that needs to be settled with this trade. A lot still could happen.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Well, that's how trades happen.
Like, yeah.
If there was no mystery involved with trades, I don't think it would happen because you would know, like, who has the better end of it.
Right. Yeah. The trade was you both sold high. And it's like, how did that shake out? I think what I was basing on, the ceiling for Jameson Williams, J-Mo, is – much lower than the ceiling of if Jordan Mason pans out. He could be top three running back.
If's doing a lot of work in that sentence.
Well, that's why I said they're both sold high.
Yeah.
So, meaning if they work, one of those works out.
Yeah, but you're only looking at Joey's positive side. You haven't looked at my positive side yet. You're only looking at his.
Yeah, I am.
I'm the only one that mentioned the fact that it could be that McCaffrey comes back and Mason sits the bench the rest of the season. You haven't mentioned that.
Right.
Does that, then I definitely got the better trade.
What I said, that you both sold high.
Yeah.
And if one works out, Jordan Mason's is definitely a lot higher than J-Mo's.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I think a big injury on the Lions side, then Jameson Williams, could potentially be.
Yeah, I mean, James Woods is going to have a great year. I'm not saying he can't. Just on the upside, because you both sold high.
Yeah, I mean, because he did have 121 yards and a touchdown week one. Yeah. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but you can't just ignore that. Brown had five fantasy points.
I understand, but you can't just ignore that.
Like, what are you betting on? Well, I'm on St. Brown not getting...
I'm betting on that offense being able to spread it around to a lot of different guys.
Again, it was a great trade.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, the highs, the selling high point.
So, if I can, we'll spend some time on Robin Levi's because I do have a couple thoughts on that as well. My biggest fear for Levi here is Chubb, like, tore, like, three different ligaments in his knee. Like, he ripped his knee all to pieces. And they're saying even if he does come back, and they're saying maybe week six he'll be back. Even if he does come back week six, he's going to be brought in slowly. I don't know what you're going to get out of him from week six, you know, to 10 or eight, whatever it takes for him to get back in the mix. But, I mean, what did he give up? He gave up a quarterback. He had picked up Justin Fields. You know, Rob needed a quarterback. And so, you know, this works. If Chubb, though, can kind of break the mold from this injury and bust out the second half of the season, big time for you later in the year.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know it's may seem crazy, but from week one, I'm on the playoffs. So, you know, like, I want him to be good then. Like,
yeah.
Like, I've foreseen, like, if I had Herbert, I wasn't going to be playing him too much anyway. I think it was a good lottery ticket to take the chance on. If it doesn't happen, it's not going to kill my season.
I agree. Yeah.
No, you paid nothing to get you.
Well, I wouldn't say nothing.
Yeah, Justin Herbert was going to be on the waiver wire in 2 or 3 weeks. He has Dak Prescott on his bench. He's not. You weren't going to hold on to.
Oh, he did.
He had Dak Prescott on his bench. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
I was.
Dak
I don't
Prescott
know,
is
I don't
on
know,
his
I,
bench.
I don't think I was ever going to cut Herbert.
I think with, you know, went waivers and bye weeks and stuff, you weren't going to. I would say, me personally, look at your roster, like, I got Dak Prescott as my third running back, quarterback.
I kind of think in our league.
No, he's got Justin Fields.
Right now, I have Justin Fields starting.
You think Justin Fields is going to be better than Dak?
He started him last week.
That ain't what I asked you. I didn't ask you if he started him last week. I asked you if you think Justin Fields is going to be better than Dak Prescott.
I didn't make the trade.
John, I'm asking you a question. You're refusing to answer it.
I would have started Dak last week. And guess what? I'd have been wrong. Justin Fields,
that's still not the question I asked. I asked you, do you think Dak is going to be better than...
Yes, I said Dak.
Yeah, Dak's going to be better.
Yeah. Okay. But he has him on the bench.
And you just called Dak his third quarterback.
Because Levi has not started him 2 weeks.
Well,
I'm
going to say that I haven't decided whether I'm...
Well, playing. I'm judging based on what I'm looking at now.
Right now, I haven't.
If you take him out, he has Justin Fields on the bench. Yeah, like, and then you have Justin Herbert. So me personally, I looked at it, I was like, hey, he got...
I got raked over the coals for having Justin Fields on my roster last year. Everybody made fun of me for having Justin Fields on my roster.
You drafted him like second overall.
Well, it doesn't matter. He was on.
Yeah, it's a big difference. He was high prime.
The fact is I got laughed at for having him on my roster. And you guys are over here like love fest on Justin Fields.
You drafted him number two. What are you talking about?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that does matter.
That's a different point. That's a different point. Where I drafted Justin Point is a different point than I had him on my roster and I got laughed at. That's a separate point than I drafted him number two.
It doesn't make sense.
How does it not make sense?
You drafted him number two.
I'll say I never laughed at you for having
him. Yeah, he loved Justin.
I love
Justin. That's right. You would never.
Like, I don't know what, I mean, it's a difference of Justin Fields.
Did I not get laughed at for having Justin Fields? Joey did. Joey laughed. That's who it was. Joey trashed Justin Fields last year.
Yeah,
Joey. So it's Joey's fault, once again.
Right, but he picked him up when Russell Wilson was ruled out. So he picked up Justin Fields.
This is a little inside baseball, but like, I have two Superflex leagues, and I kind of like having four quarterbacks. Like, I feel like Justin Herbert had, you know, some value. Like, I don't think he...
Right. What I'm saying is, when were you ever going to start him?
Bye weeks, kind of. Or he blows up. Or he, you know...
Comes or he back. Had an injury.
Yeah. Or, yeah, an injury.
Well, that's why he has three.
Yeah. But, like, if someone drops a worthy quarterback, I'm going to consider picking them up and dropping one of my players and having four quarterbacks again.
Right. I have three. Three's fine with me. Everybody's different. Like Amanda had six and won the championship game.
Yeah,
it's whatever.
Quarterback depth is insane.
He, for me, looking at the trade, I didn't give up much.
Yeah, I'm betting on. I only have two quarterbacks, and I'm betting on them staying healthy. Maybe that's foolish. I don't know. And I'm just looking to stream on bye weeks. So, I mean, that's my plan right now.
Most people last year, nobody was starting two quarterbacks.
I wouldn't say nobody.
But most teams. Did you start two quarterbacks and win the league?
Yeah.
Who was your two?
Two and Mahomes.
Okay. What did Amanda
I started two.
I didn't.
Well, it sounds like you were the only one that didn't.
I scored the most points.
Okay.
I mean, I think most or half the league, maybe. I remember looking, thinking it was going to be everybody starting two, but it turned out these receivers were crazy. And you're like, start a receiver. Yeah. You didn't have a running quarterback.
Also, we said Amanda had six, like, good quarterbacks.
Yeah, no.
If she had four, then that's two.
She didn't finish with six, though.
She started with, but she had, like, four all year.
But I think
that were like, startable on other teams.
Gives you that ability to make a trade where I'm like, I'm not losing much. Like,
no.
Just you gave him your worst quarterback to get.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, like, what's Fields fact? Might not be. Play. I know he's still kind of up in the air. Yeah, like if he plays, but like he's kind of a lottery ticket too. I want to keep him.
Right.
Herbert is a good, you know, second quarterback, bye week fill in.
Yeah, like I think it was good that you got a lottery ticket that may pay off week, you know, 9, 10, 11 or something.
Yeah, that was my plan. I was like, okay, I might have two, you know, really good running backs.
Yes.
going in the playoffs.
Well, that's fair.
And Rob has another quarterback, so that helps.
So, and then we also had some waiver pickups.
Yeah, big one was Jeff picked up Isaiah Likely for $256, which, you know, that seems like a lot, especially since no one else bid on him except John.
Can we talk about this for a second, about this pickup?
Sure.
Let's talk about this. Because, I mean, Likely was probably the biggest surprise week one. Would you agree? Or at least one of the biggest surprises. Right? I mean, especially with Mark Andrews doing anything.
I guess it's
who would have bet on that?
With Mark Andrews being, Andrews being the surprise more than Likely.
So my question is, and what I'd like to discuss is, are you buying this pickup? Do you like it? Do you think it was an aberration what happened week one? Do you think Andrews will end up taking the...
Well, I tried to buy the pickup, so I kind of did. But not... My tight end was hurt. That's why I went after it. And I was like, well, it's going to hurt. You know?
I think if you're concerned about your tight end, it's a good pickup.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
I think he could be like a... You know, an Evan Ingram, like a 6, 7, 8 top tight end, and still not be the, you know, and Andrew's still having a good year too. Like, he's going to get touchdowns. He's going to have some big plays.
They say that Kansas City targeted Andrews and took him out of the game on purpose.
They schemed him out.
Yeah, they schemed him out.
Yeah.
But the thing, I mean, he did that. Isaiah Likely came in, was amazing. Like, well, why couldn't he do it again?
I think some teams are going to be, you know, streaming tight end anyway. Why not have one that could go off on any team?
Yeah.
Like, and not have to worry about it. Sometimes you might get burned, like, but it's tight end. You get burned with the best
Jeff
one.
Came from scoring 102 points.
Yeah, no.
He had to make some noise.
I don't hate it. I applaud him for throwing himself out there. And I think maybe what did you bid on him?
73.
Yeah, so he definitely overpaid, but how could he know? I mean, Likely blew up, and he was thinking everybody was going to go after him, and really it didn't happen.
I'm not sure if Jeff looks at articles or anything, but when I've seen, like, experts talking about, there's some experts saying you should pay, like, 50, or in our terms, $500.
50% of your FAB, yeah.
Yeah, 50%. But that was on the low end of most experts. But, like, I would, thinking, like, knowing pretty much everybody, I don't think anybody would have paid that much. But, like, 200, I don't think 200 is crazy, so 250, not far from that.
He got him. That's it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he got him.
Yeah, and I applaud that. Yeah. I think it's good. Any other significant pickups?
I picked up Tank Bigsby for $151. No other bidders, so a little disappointed in that because I was fluctuating between – But, like,
right.
I don't know. I need, I just want, I'm looking for running backs. So, just,
yeah.
I think he could be, I think it involves an injury. But if he's going to be involved in offense, so he's going to be right now probably a bye week fill in. But if something happens to ETN, he becomes like a potential league winner.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he only had a couple less carries than ETN in that matchup.
Yeah, it was close. It was same, like
they were almost splitting the load. Yeah, that's encouraging.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So like there were a lot of good running backs out there, so it was hard to pick. Ended up with the one that I wanted.
So yeah, saying, bid what you want, what you think you should bid. Yeah. Start trying to guess and stuff. Like yeah. I did. I was way wrong.
Yeah.
Like that. Almost $200.
It was a weird week for pickups. Like
I think everybody's just patient with their team.
I think there was like likely was probably the big pickup, and it's tight end. There wasn't like a bet the farm or
yeah, because Brad already had the big pickup, Jordan Mason.
Yeah, you picked them up before. Yeah.
So like, so it was kind
of
weak.
Yeah, a lot of lottery tickets. No like 100% slam dunks right out in the waiver wire.
Is Daniel Jones washed? I seen John dropped him. You were just talking about the value of quarterbacks. Yeah. You dropped Daniel Jones.
But I had to. But I had to pick up.
You had to drop somebody. You chose right. Daniel
yeah.
Jones.
Yeah. Well, who else was
I going to don't know. I'm not. I don't want to litigate that. But
I think he's washed. But I don't think he's terrible this week if somebody wants to play him.
I don't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole. I had him last year. Just like Justin Fields. My quarterback selections last year were trash.
Those were your top two picks.
Yeah. And that, talk about not working out. And then
he got hurt. He was out. He played four games.
Sorry, I'm not trying to take over a segment. I'm just noticing Blake Corum also got dropped after week one. There was a lot of hope for him this season. You think he gets picked up later in the season?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Derek picked up Justin Hill, who had a nice week one as well. Had a bunch of targets. They threw the ball to him like five or six times. I guess I can't blame him for that, but Blake Corum could be fought over here as well on the waiver wire.
Yeah. He may get picked up for the Sunday.
I mean, this may lead something, but he's going to have a big week.
Corum.
Some week down the road, he's probably going to have like a 2-touchdown game or something. Probably.
He'll be on a roster.
Oh, and let Kyron Williams get hurt.
Like, that's the thing, yeah, he gets hurt.
But like, McVay doesn't like rookies that much, especially running back rookies. So, like, he makes them, you know, earn their keep.
Right. No, he'll definitely be on a roster.
Anything else of note here?
Just the trades. Nothing crazy this week.
I picked up Wandale Robinson and dropped Jalen Polk. Wandale Robinson had 14 targets in week one. 14. Yeah. And he only caught like six.
Yeah, it's six. That's...
Well, but still, 14 targets. They're looking for him.
Well,
you know,
they may stop.
They may.
It's probably a good play. Like I like
the player gets 14 targets. I'll take a flyer on him.
Yeah. I'm playing Washington this week.
Yeah.
So
I'm not starting him, but you know, and he's UK guy. You know, Cats. Come on.
Who could have known? Okay. All right. Well, that'll do it for the. I guess we'll just power ranking / recent activity segment.
Yeah, good segment.
Brad's dumb opinions about.
Yeah, things. And Brad's dumb opinions. It's kind of we'll come up.
We
with
can call it that.
Yeah, Brad's that. dumb opinions.
All right. Well, we'll move on to the mailbag next.
All right, guys, we're going to jump into the mailbag. I forgot to send out the text, so I don't really have any questions but one. I think Brad has a few, so we're going to jump right in it. How many owls? Just kidding.
I was like, oh, this episode just doubled it. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Immediately.
We're going to flip over the tape to hear the rest of it. There are three NFL teams whose logos are symmetrical. Which three teams are they?
Oh,
geez.
Bears, right?
Nope.
No?
Symmetrical is it's vertical.
Vertical symmetrical? Yeah. Oh, this is tough.
Raiders?
Saints
are one.
Saints makes
sense. Is Raiders not?
Nope. Let's see. Not Jets. Not Dolphins.
Nope.
Not Patriots.
Chargers?
Not Bills.
Not the Chargers. Not the Bills.
Not Chiefs.
Not the Chiefs.
It's Cowboys.
Cowboys are two.
Commanders?
No, but no. It is close, but it's not. This team is an AFC team.
AFC team? Yeah. Houston?
Nope.
Titans?
Nope.
Oh, it's Colts.
Colts.
Yeah. That took us way too long.
No, I didn't take it. I thought you'd get it. Cool. Yeah. Brad?
All right. So I've got some here to dig through. So coming off the Chaos Group text line, Joey asks, do the Dolphins bring in Colin Kaepernick?
Ooh.
I don't know if he was joking there or if he wants a serious response.
I think
it's probably more of a joke.
You know, maybe they give TB, you know, maybe they give Brady a call. Get him out of the booth.
Oh, man.
That's been rumored as well already.
I can't imagine they're going to stick with the guy that they got. Like, they're going to go after
Skylar Thompson.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, they have playoff potential.
It really depends on how long they've done it with Tua. How long
Most people are talking like, he's probably going to retire.
I'm not going to speak, but like, that's what I'd be thinking about.
I listened to ESPN Radio on the way to work this morning and the National Syndicate, and the guy was, I forget his name, but he was like, he said his family, people around him need to tell him to retire if he doesn't. That's wow.
Yeah.
That's big news.
Damn. I don't think it'll be Colin Kaepernick, but I think there'll be a move.
Too far removed. Yeah. Tannehill, I've heard.
I mean, he's been there, you know.
Like, other than that, I mean, like, we were kind of talking about before, there's just not that many good quarterbacks in the league.
I wonder if, like, they'll go after a player that has yet to sign, like, an extension. You know, whether, you know, Dak just signed last week, would he have been a potential move, you know? Because, like, do you want to waste Tariq Hill and Achan and Waddle?
Man, I know.
And, you know,
all the potential on that roster.
And have to draft a rookie.
I mean, not to say that I hate Skylar Thompson, but like, he came in, their game plan was Tua for that game.
Yeah.
I reserve the right to see how their team looks with a week of practice.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like a week, like how they are with Skylar, they might be okay. I mean, if they weren't confident, then he wouldn't be on the team. Like, Mike White was on the team as a backup before. He's shown some promise, and he's not even on the team anymore.
I know, but I feel like this team is like playoff team. Like, you don't want to waste. It's week three. If it's week six or something, you maybe just ride it out. But like, you got a whole season ahead of you. Can he get you to the playoffs with these players that you just paid? You just paid Tua in July.
Gun to your head, Levi, does Tua retire?
If I was him, I'd retire.
Gun to your head. I'm not saying if you were him. I'm saying, what do you think?
I'm going to say no.
John?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to say no as well. I think maybe he should, but... All right. Second one here we've got... this was from me. Should he change his team name to Loose Meat?
Yes.
Yes.
There, no hesitation from John.
I have to order a new koozie for him.
I mean, he... That's okay. Those are cheap, you know. And Joey, he changes his name every other year anyway. So, I mean, it's just...
He stopped that.
Yeah. Well, this is the perfect time to re-up.
You give him, like, amnesty to do it. Like,
yes. Fair game right now. In fact, I'll shake his hand. No.
This is the grossest matchup of the week. Loose Meat versus Slop Nancy. It's like, that's the wrong thing. He changes his name.
We need like an award for the winner of that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's got to happen.
You get like a toe ring if you win.
The mop bucket.
The mop bucket. Yeah. Hey, Joe, just change your team name this week. And so make sure, so we get that. We want Loose Meat versus Slop Nasty.
Yeah.
I want to talk about it next week on the podcast. That's right. All right, next one here. Does Joe, a lot of this about Joe, I mean, this has been a tough one for Joe. Sorry, buddy. Does Joe regret not choosing another alliance?
Rob gave me a per Rob. He told me to say this. We were setting up fireworks. It's really kind of weak, but I'm gonna say it. Joey chose wrong when he didn't choose the Hacksaw Alliance, and he suffered because of it.
So he does regret it then.
So no, Rob said that.
So Rob went harder. Like he beat him. Like he whooped him because he.
I don't know what it means. It doesn't mean anything, yeah. Really. But he said it like real. Tell Joe, he chose wrong when he didn't choose the Hacksaw Alliance.
Maybe Joe understands that.
And I was like, all right, I'll say it. I don't know what it means. I don't care what it means.
Yeah, and Joe, here's the other part of this coin that you didn't think about. Because see, here we are sitting here. If you were on the Hacksaw Alliance right now, we'd be picking you up. We'd be building you up. We'd be encouraging you. We'd be patting you on the back. We'd be... You know, all positives. But you know, when you're on the strong arm, they don't care about you.
Caressing your
cheeks. John just told you earlier. He just said he don't care about Derek. He wants to destroy him. He wants to destroy you. He hates alliances. Yep. He doesn't even want you to be on the alliance. So, I mean, congratulations, Joe. Good pick. All right. Last question. This is from myself. Is Jeff nervous about Marvin Harrison Jr. after the first week?
Then Jeff responded.
Or should he be nervous?
Should he be nervous about his whole team?
Yeah, I think he was being a little,
I don't know,
tongue-in-cheek. I don't think he really thinks the whole team is
there's always a little bit of truth, I think.
Let's focus on Marvin Harrison, because he was such a high pick. And
nervous maybe.
He had like three targets.
Nervous is, I think he will be great.
Oh, yeah.
I think the draft pick probably was
Will he be great on Jeff's team?
Some point, like you just don't know when it's gonna be. Like he needs to get like familiar with the offense, like develop a connection with Kyler.
I don't think it is week one. You don't get nervous about nothing.
Like about this is the lowest. I mean, you can't go much lower. But this is the lowest he'll be all year.
Well, you're nervous about. You're not nervous about Tua. If you had Tua, I'd be a little nervous about Tua. I know it's a special circumstance.
Yeah,
a little different. Yeah. But Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, I value
draft capital too. He didn't, Tua wasn't spent and wasn't drafted in the second round.
But I evaluated Jeff's draft, and every time I looked at Marvin Harrison, I thought of him as elite. You know, I did not think of this when I thought of Marvin Harrison. Well, two catches for 12 yards, whatever it was. That was not what I was thinking when I evaluated his team. But maybe we were premature. We all jumped the gun a little bit.
Yeah, like,
you know, expecting it from out of the gate, just like Justin Jefferson did. With Minnesota, when he was a rookie, he came right out of the gate, if I recall.
His draft price could not be any higher. Like, you couldn't put him with the elite of the elite. So, like, he was just, like, so where was the value with him?
Yeah. You know? You weren't getting him any later.
Like, it was a lose-lose situation taking him.
He rolled the dice. I think it'll pay off.
I would. If Jeff writes the ship, it's kind of similar to the Nick Chubb thing. Like, if Jeff writes the ship, he's in a playoff position or gets in the playoffs, and during that time, Marvin Harrison's going to be great.
What if Jeff leaves
When you look back at the year, it's going to be like, oh, he only had like 800 yards and
touchdowns. But maybe take Brad's advice, leave the Union Brother Alliance, join the Hacksaw, and they'll lift them up.
Yeah, they'll take care of you.
Yeah, they'll take care of you, Jeff.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean,
take care of you, bro.
You know.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Hey, great podcast. Good segment. Good mailbag. Week one's in the books. Week one's in the books. We're looking ahead to week two.
Oh, quick question. Yeah. Trade over under. What is it now? Is it 5.5?
Oh, we got to adjust that. I don't know. I'd go that high.
3.5. I think there may be just one more.
Still this early week.
Yeah,
people nervous about their team.
I think that the right people made the right trades with the right players. It's hard to trade, and those were perfect. Everybody won. I feel like so. It's hard to make a trade.
And I should say that I got turned down twice. I actually offered Levi a trade, and we had a discussion.
I talked to you a little bit. I offered you something that I didn't think was going to happen, but maybe. I offered you something to maybe spark a conversation.
Right.
And nothing could come to head.
You didn't have equal value at the position that I wanted.
Right.
I think that was really the issue, or else I probably would have pulled the trigger. We could have pulled the trigger there. But yeah, 4.5, 5.5. Okay. We'll see.
That's probably fair.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Hold on. Yes. Wait, I just thought of something. Who do you think has more rushing yards, Jayden Daniels or Anthony Richardson?
This week?
No, season. The whole season.
Jayden Daniels.
If they both stay healthy, I'll take Anthony Richardson. They stay healthy.
Yeah, Jayden Daniels had 88 yards.
I think Jayden Daniels.
Yeah, I do too.
Some of his teams is good.
I think that Anthony Richardson has the bomb throw. And I don't know, like, he has the better arm.
Yeah.
Jayden Daniels is a rookie, and you can tell when he gets nervous, he just runs.
The heck, so is Anthony Richardson. He only played 4 games.
Like, right. Kind of help was, I just think that Richardson will make more reads. And like
Jayden Daniels threw 40 touchdowns in college since last season. 40. It's crazy.
I think he looked a little skittish. That's going to go away.
Yeah.
But like he's going to run a lot, I think.
I'll take Richardson just because I think the Colts' offensive line is probably better. But
yeah, I'm not going to argue with it either way. I mean, I'll take Daniels, but I mean, I could see it going to Richardson.
They're both great.
Yeah. All right. Is that a wrap?
The wrap.
Good show. All right, Chaos Fantasy Scum Buckets. Week 1 of the 2024 football season is in the books. And if you're currently 0-1, remember that the past 3 champs all lost week 1. However, some teams are already starting up to pile up injuries, making shaky waiver pickups, and some seem to be in full panic mode, Joe. But in the meantime, get prepared to set your lineup, put a helmet on, and always remember that nobody cares about your crappy fantasy football team.